You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hen.
Everybody needs some Hen love.
And Hotbox.
Altaholic wow extraordinaire.
Hello, and welcome to me scrolling up here to episode number 41 of the Training Dummies, recorded for you on May 9th of 2013. My name is Rob, and I play all the things. No, really, I do play all the things, and it's kind of silly, but I just can't help it. And with me this evening, from the snow-capped peaks of the Kunlai Summit, is my bro host and man of a million macros, Resto Shaman, no, Warlock Extraordinaire, Zend. Should I be introducing you as your Warlock now?
No, probably not. Just stick with him. That's
okay. I know you said you've been cheating on him, so. Well, what has been up with you this week in the World of Warcraft?
This 3 weeks. It's been a while since we recorded. It feels like even longer than that, but it's been, 3 weeks. My goodness. Well, part of the reason it's been so long is I was in Mexico for a week, and it snowed the day before I left, which was lovely, and snowed my first day back at the last day of April, or second last day of April, which was kind of crappy, but oh well. This past Monday, though, it hit 32 degrees, which is about 90 Fahrenheit.
I love it. I love 90.
So thanks to that, the snow is almost gone. It's supposed to be a nice weekend this weekend as well. So I'll be busy outside working in the yard. We're going to make the garden bigger. I'm looking to add probably another 400 square feet or so to the garden.
Sounds like a small forest there.
Right. But yeah, but while I was in Mexico, though, I had a great time. It was very relaxing. I got a very good untan going. I don't want to disappoint Rob, so I didn't. I didn't get a tan. One thing I do got to say, Margaritaville is the best invention ever. We went through a lot of rum when we were down there because of that thing. It really does make the best frozen blended drinks. It is amazing.
And so is that like a little blender or something?
Yeah, but rather than blend the ice, it shaves it.
Oh.
So it's like the perfect frozen drink. And you want the best strawberry daiquiri you've ever had? Make it with real strawberries. It is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Not this daiquiri mix nonsense, but real strawberries, a little bit of sugar just because it's strawberries can be kind of sour. A little bit of sugar, fresh strawberries, and then shaved ice. It is so good. Oh, and of course rum. You can't forget the rum.
Right.
But yeah, while we were down there, my wife did bring our laptop. So yes, we did get some gaming in, but we kept it to the evenings and the mornings. So don't worry. We still got I got lots of shade. She got lots of sun anyway.
Yeah, we saw some pictures.
Yes. I moved the umbrella over by the pool so I could stay in the pool in the shade. It was awesome. Let's see, since we've been back, it doesn't feel like I've done a lot in game, but I've got some big accomplishments, I guess. I did a race change on my Warlock. I'm now Orc and no longer undead. Part of the reason I wanted to do that is because Transmog looks so much better on an Orc than an undead.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I don't like the spine that sticks out the back or the shoulder, or not the shoulders, sorry, the elbows and the knees, always the bones showing. Like, if you are undead, if you put clothes over top of them, it's going to cover that up, so it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I did that. Last week was Orphan Week, and I finished the long, strange trip, finally.
Yeah, dude.
After 2 years needing one achievement.
Years, yeah.
I have more PvP gear on my Warlock, so My first thought was I'll do the PvP achievements with my Warlock. And I got AB done the first night. It took me 4 attempts. And then the next day I was looking at Hend. And Hend actually had only Eye of the Storm left to do. So it was silly to continue on my Warlock, because on my Warlock I'd still have to get, Warsong Gulch and Alterac Valley, and that's just foolish. Why bother with that when I already have those done on Hend? So I took Hend into Eye of the Storm. Oh, I think it took me 4 or 5 attempts to finally get a flag, and you could tell there's lots of people just hanging by the flag, just trying to grab it, all of us with our orphans out. And I could just never get it. But then this one time I had it, and oh, it was so glorious. I was just so excited. Kept checking all around me, make sure no one was coming to get me, and I got it finally. And thing is, I've had this one sub-achievement to do for 2 years, because last year I didn't do anything during Orphan Week. I missed it. I'm not sure what we were doing. We were busy or something, so we didn't even log on for that entire week. So I've had to capture a flag in Eye of the Storm for 2 years as the only thing I've needed for Long Strange Trip. So it's done.
2 years.
I know. Man. 2 years with just capturing a single flag is the only thing I needed. But I'm done. So that's a relief.
Is that Violet Protodrake worth all that?
It is, because it matches the purple transmog set I have on my Warlock.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. I'm like, hey, this actually looks pretty good. Nice. but other than that, it's just been a mix of LFRs and dailies to get the lesser charms for the Mogu runes. One more thing outside of game. You may have seen me mention this on Twitter, but last night, me and my 10-year-old son had our second guitar lesson. So yes, I am taking guitar lessons with my son, and so soon we're going to have the next Hendrix. And yes, nice. Hendrix is actually the origin, the original origin of the name Hend, if you're wondering. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. But Rob, I guess I've talked for quite a while here. I actually had a lot of notes here, but I guess it's been 3 weeks. What have you been up to in the past 3 weeks?
Oh, dude, so much just alts, 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 more alts. I finally got all the sigils on my warrior and my priest, and I've kind of been tanking around with those, getting those turned in and then moving on to the next parts of the quest chain. I just kind of feel like Rathian's just a little drama queen and just sitting through all that RP and him playing chess with... what's his name? And
yeah,
it's just like he's like, go meet me up on top of the hill. And you're
That's right. Now that you mention that, I got my my Warlock last night in LFR with you. Yeah. I got my sigils done. I forgot about that. There's so much other stuff. Yeah.
Get to go have the picnic with Rathian.
I did up on the hill. It was very romantic.
So I don't know how much I would really pursue all that stuff on alts, but if it happens, it happens, you know? And then once you realize you're, like, 2 sigils away, then you kind of push forward a little bit, you know? But in terms of the rest of it, you know, that's a lot of... I know they're nerfing the Valor thing, but that's still, you know, the 6,000 Valor's a lot, and to have to do the PvP stuff is a lot. And I guess that that leads me to this breaking news that I have here. Once in a lifetime... maybe not, because I'll probably end up doing it some more here. But last Saturday, our very own Kim and her husband Andy used their sweet and sultry Scottish accents to con me into some battlegrounds. So I decided I was just going to take my shaman. I was like, elemental, that's cool. I can go ahead and, you know, bust my cooldowns and crit everybody in the face, and I should be good to go. So I went and picked up some of the crafted pieces, and then I had some justice points that I converted and bought some honor gear, and I, you know, got my 4-piece and went in there. And apart from the fact that my crits are usually blowing up for, you know, 200-300k, it was more like 20 or 30k. So that was like kind of annoying. I'm sitting there just lighting into somebody, and like their health doesn't even move, and I'm like, what the heck? Blowing cooldowns, I'm doing everything, and But I had a lot of killing blows. I had a really good time. And probably the biggest thing now that like would really change my mind about PvP is if you go in with a group, especially having a pocket healer, it makes all the difference in the world, man. You got someone like hooking you up, basically keeping you alive. So I don't think I want a solo queue for Battlegrounds or anything like that, but it was kind of awesome. Had a really good time. And of course, you know, being in voice with Kim and Andy totally was a blast. So
yeah,
I'll be doing it again for sure. And I know you're getting your Warlock a little geared up now too. So
yeah, it's actually got a not bad set. I've got almost all the 476 PvP gear. So I think I'm just missing the belt right now, but and belt and weapons for the PvP gear. But yeah, I've got almost all of it, which is amazing.
Well, I got my paladin up to LFR gear level just by mostly PvP gear. And then I realized I'm in mostly PvP gear, and that kind of scared me for a minute. We'll get into the gearing thing here in a little bit, though, because we actually have a lot of that to talk about.
Yeah, we do. All right, well, I guess keep moving on.
Yeah.
Deep run tram, last call for mail.
All right, we have a couple of emails here, and... Well, just an update. We have an email. I think we mentioned it on the last show from Noodles Feathermoon server asking about a cast sequence macro. I'm still really leery about this macro since it gets by the global cooldown restriction of having only one per macro. It somehow gets by it. I don't know how it exactly works. So I don't want to use it or recommend it without getting confirmation from Blizzard that it's okay, but sent a couple emails and we've received no response yet, so I'm just not quite sure what to do that. So there's just an update on that. If you're listening, Noodles. So we're still kind of looking at it, and if we hear anything, we'll let you know. But anyway, we have another one here asking about mount macro. It says, "Hi, Hendon Rob. I've just started listening to your podcast, and you have inspired me to try a few macros. As I am a macro virgin, once I sort the below, I will start looking into mouse over healing on my priests, and I know you will be proud." Yes, we will.
Yes.
"As a fellow altaholic, I thought I would start with a universal macro for mounting up, and I love the random mount selector. I currently only have about 25 mounts, but it makes me want to get more. The macro I'm using below generally works great," and he references the macro of the week we had for episode 32. And he says that the problems he's having is on his main, which is Enhancement Shaman, "I'd like to include Ghost Wolf when indoors, raid dungeons, etc. On other characters, some have flying, some don't. This results in an error message about selecting mounts that aren't allowed. And 3, if I can fly, then flying mounts are priorities forced. Now, I know I'm probably running before I can walk, but I tried to incorporate the below macro without control or alt function with the above to try and resolve the problems, but failed. Like a shaman falling from his mount into the frozen waters of Northrend."
little shout out to Kevin there.
Yeah. So the one he's mentioning is, I think we had it as the macro of the week when Ask Mr. Robot was on. And it's a druid shift macro that, depending on what situation you're in, will select the proper form, like swimming, combat, puts you in travel form, swift flight form if you're in a flying zone, etc., etc. So he tried to combine that, I think, with the other random macro, and it didn't work. So anyway, he says, "Any chance of a little help? If you can't, it ain't no biggie. I still love the show. It's now one of my favorites with Darkmoon Herald, Girls Gone WoW, and Convert to Raid." Thank you very much for saying that, though. Those are awesome podcasts, and it's humbling to be mentioned in the same sentence, for sure. Also, I would have left voicemail, but my Gordy Newcastle, England accent, you probably wouldn't have understood anything I said. P.S. I also love Kim's accent, but who doesn't? Regards, Paul. And also known as Big Neo Man, Pandaren Enhancement Shaman on the EU Velkna Lash server. So my first response to this is...
Go Elemental.
Right. Don't try to make a universal mount macro for all your characters to include all this stuff in. It's not going to work. If you have some that can't fly, then you're going to have to make a separate macro for them. And once they get into where they can fly, then you'll just have to switch it out. Would be the biggest thing. As far as putting Ghost Wolf into this other one, that is pretty simple. I'll post it in the show notes as well. And on the macro section, but it's just a slash cast, and then in square bracket you have indoors, and then square bracket in combat Ghost Wolf. So if ever you're indoors or you're in combat and you hit this, it's going to cast Ghost Wolf. But if you're in a zone that allows you to mount, then it's going to skip past those, and it's going to do your random macro for your mount. But I'll post it's basically just adding that first syntax to the beginning of the random macro that is our episode 32 macro of the week. So there's really not much to it, but I'll post it and you can have a look and see if that helps you out. And if you do need anything else regarding this, just let us know.
I know alternatively, as several people in the guild, Hoofit being one of them, just uses an add-on called Go-Go Mount, mm-hmm. and that I think does a lot of this stuff. You know, it takes into consideration whether you can fly or not and all that, so...
Yeah.
I know we endorse macros pretty heavily, but there some things are just easier done other ways, so...
Maybe.
I don't know, dude. This macro looks awesome. That's some straight-up code there. Moving on, our next email here says, "Hey guys, these misdirect macros are nice and all, but to truly use misdirect to its fullest, you should use the glyph of misdirection. It resets the cooldown whenever you misdirect your pet. By creating macros for all of your shots, you can effectively shunt all of your aggro onto your pet." He lists the syntax here and says, "I have all my shots set up this way and my aggro goes to my pet. Still works even if I have focus set up. Misdirect is no longer on the GCD, so the misdirect line is ignored while the misdirect is on cooldown. And misdirect will fire off every time it comes off of cooldown. Credit where credit is due. It was my raid leader, Gundox, who worked out the macroing and all of your shots with misdirect. Thanks for the great show. Argo of Holy Crit. Blade Fist server." He's a... And then he lists several of his alts, and it looks like he ranks right up there at the best of them here. So I give you, Argo, a gigantic bro fist for being part of the alt nation.
And I guess we should mention this, I didn't put it in the notes here, but this wasn't an email. This was actually posted in the comments on the show that we had Gamut on. Yeah, the show that Gamut was on. So,
oh, that's awesome. Right on.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Okay, I guess that's it for emails and questions, etc. So we'll do this and get into our topic.
This is Olivia from WoWinsider.com and Gamebreaker TV, and you're lucky enough to be listening to The Training Dummies with Hend and Rob.
Olivia's awesome.
Yes. That's so awesome. Let's just put that right in the middle there. Tonight, we're going to talk about alts, because... That's something that I think everybody on some form or another, even people that claim that they only play one tune, have some sort of alts. I know there's a couple of guys in our guild that like really say, nope, I only play one. But every once in a while, I have them on Real ID and I'll see them log into something somewhere else. And I'm like, you only play one, huh? Yeah. So we wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit. I know this expansion for me personally has felt very, very anti-alt. Or alt unfriendly, or however you want to call it, and it's getting better, definitely getting better, but it's been uphill so far, and so we were just going to talk about a lot of things to consider, and maybe to make that that addiction a little bit easier. Do you want to take this first one here?
Okay, well, I guess one of the things you want to really consider when you're playing an alt is your professions. We asked on Twitter what your favorite thing about alts is as well, and that was the biggest response we got was professions.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, choose something that'll work well together or play off of your current professions. So, like, for instance, myself, I have, Hend is, engineer and a jewel crafter, and I have an alt, my paladin, who is a miner, who feeds my shaman all the mats he needs, so I don't have to go into the auction hall and buy them. As well, that's part of the thing, is the auction hall can have pretty exorbitant prices. And when I leveled up my warlock, I finally finished leveling up my tailoring and my enchanting. So now, you know, if none of our guild enchanters are on and I really want to get an enchant, I don't have to go pay auction hall prices. I can just do it myself now and mail it over to anyone that needs it. Or if there's anyone in the guild looking for an enchant, I can just do it up for them. So, you know, that's something to look at is, you know, what professions could you really use? Like I know, for instance, the next alt that I might consider doing, or one profession I really want to get, is inscription, because right now I can't do shoulder enchants for myself.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, I'd really like to be able to do that, but, you know, currently I don't have that option. Now, I know you probably do.
And I certainly do.
Tim, as well, in the guild, has all the professions as well. And that's, you know, I believe that's one of the main reasons he levels alts as well, is so that he can have all the professions. But that's...
he's very, 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 like, he's got every single mat ever. So I can be like, hey, do you have this? And he'll start alting around and like, go, he's got a stack of that somewhere, and, you know.
Yes, he does. But then he doesn't use add-ons, so if he had an add-on with an inventory, he could tell who had what. I know.
Yeah, I use one called, in the spirit of the show, I use one called Altaholic, and I know there's several out there that do this, but, you know, you can mouse over anything in your bag, and it'll tell you, even in the guild bank, on other tunes, whether it's in their bags or in the bank, or, you know, how much. You know, I can see I've got 5 peace bloom over on this guy, and, you know, like real easy when you're like what you were saying with enchanting, you know, or inscription or alchemy, you know, you can find your mats and stuff real quick without having to dig around for them.
So. Yeah. Or even, you know, tailoring if you've got other casters, spell threads as well.
Yep.
You know, tailoring is really nice. Or, which I've, well, actually, that we've both been doing with tailoring and the daily cooldown. You can supply yourself, if you have an alt with tailoring, you can supply yourself with 28 slot bags. That is a huge boost to your inventory.
Man, I finally finished that with my priest, and I had so many of those silk,
Imperial silk, yeah.
Yeah, I was able to make like 7 or 8 of those bags.
That's awesome.
And I sent a bunch over to my monk, and it's like, I probably have like over a full bag of empty space now, where I was kind of like, you know, getting pretty tight before. Those bags are ridiculous, man. They're huge.
I know, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got 3 right now, and I have enough silk now to make a 4th. I just haven't done it yet, but I'll be doing it soon. And, you know, I'm even using my farm to plant wind wool, and Motes of Harmony, the songbell seeds, so that I can use the spirits of harmony to make another cloth, so I don't have to wait 12 days to be able to make a bag. I can make them, you know, maybe in 10 days or so.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Just, you know, the way these professions just play off of each other, you know. You can use the farm now too, if you're kind of stuck or just being lazy, or you don't want to go out there and farm up all the mats. You can plant the stuff, and then you know, if you're leveling alchemy, you know, you can plant all those herbs and send them on over. I mean, you get tons and tons and tons of herbs. That's probably what I plant the most right now because they actually, if I don't need them for anything, they always sell really well too. So
that's a, definitely, that's a good way
to do it. And then in the spirit of vaults, if you're looking at bringing up some tunes, most of your professions have some sort of crafted gear that's 476. And so, you know, I've made all of my cloth wearing tunes, you know, I've made them their, the chest and the hands, and then my leather worker does the mail and the leather pieces, and I mean, it's a ton of stuff that that'll kind of kickstart you into end game, just being able to make that on one of your tunes and send it over to another one. So actually, you know what, next up is gearing. So one of the things I was putting down here in the notes is that the 5.0 and 5.1 Valor gear is really, really cheap right now. It's like, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, the rings and whatnot are like, you know, $625. So if you're looking at trying to gear up really quickly, I know some of these factions, if you don't have the rep with them, it's kind of a pain. You got to go farm it up. But if you do have the rep, it's going to be a lot easier to pick up a trinket from, you know, Dominance Offensive or Shadow Pan than it is to, you know, try and save up the 1750 points and go and buy it from the new area. And if it is an alt, you're probably not really concerned about end game and it trying to be, you know, really, really raid prepared. So you can get away with the, you know, without trying to have all the 522 gear. One of the big things right now, and this was something that Preach put a video out on not too long ago, is a real easy way to gear up, and it's over in the, let's see here, it's the treasure trove single player scenario that you do. So you can go and farm for those keys over in the new Thunder Isle area. There's chests all over the island that you could find that have a key in them, or mobs drop them, or so usually you could farm one up, and you know, if you know if you're determined, you can do it in, you know, like 10 minutes or so, I'd say. So you go over there, and the thing that you want to do is when you go into this scenario, the treasure trove run for the whatever his name is, the Thunder King, you just want to stay in that first room. So you go into that first room, and you can spend your full 5 minutes in there, no problem, but you want to get as many chests as you possibly can. So you want to get up along, go along the sides, and, you know, find the little ways to climb up and get them all. And what will happen is you will get tons of the Elder Charms. I got 15 of them in one run. Mm-hmm. Now, the Elder Charms are the ones that you spend in the 5.0 raids. So what you do is go into your 5.0 raids. You've got your double chances for, you know, your loot rolls. And with the, you can't see my air quotes, increased drop rates, which I'm very skeptical about, but we're going to go with it. You know, it's like, after a couple of weeks, you're probably going to be pretty raid geared at that point. At least for the 483 gear and, you know, all the 5.0 stuff. Another thing that you can do is kind of finally found a, in terms of gearing up, found something to do with justice points. So they're not a complete waste. So at this point, do not, and I repeat that, do not spend them on the 458 PVE gear that you can get from the different faction vendors. What you want to do is go back to Orgrimmar, I guess Stormwind if you play one of those guys, and trade the justice points in for honor points. And in Orgrimmar, it's by the old Valor vendor. The ratio of trading them in is a little, you know, it's like you trade in 375 and you get 250 honor, which is all right. You can grind out honor or justice really quickly too. So, and then you go over to the honor quartermaster in Pandaria, and there's 476 gear that you can just buy. You know, there's trinkets. You know, if you're a healer, there's a spirit trinket that you can get. It's a great trinket. It's a good way to boost your item level really, really quickly. And then, like I was saying a minute ago, the crafted gear, it's all 476 or 496, depending on if you have the mats or someone in the guild there. So it's really, really, really easy at this point to boost an alt up into the up into an LFR or, you know, even the Throne of Thunder LFR rating at this point.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had mentioned getting the Elder Charms to use in the raids, the 5.0 or 5.1 raids anyway. I still do that on my Warlock. Like, I don't need any of the gear from them anymore. And the maximum charms you can have right now is 20. But my Warlock is an enchanter. So what all these old raids for me is giving me a source of Shaw crystals. You know, you walk in, you know, if you can get yourself 15 to 20 a week, and then you run all these old bosses, and you burn, you know, you got your regular chance to get something off them, and then you burn an elder on every single boss, whether you need something or not. And if you get a purple that you don't need, which I don't need any of them right now, I just dust it, and I've got a free Shaw crystal, and on occasion, because of the guild perk, sometimes I get two. So it's a, you know, it's a great way to farm Shaw crystals for yourself, and if you don't need them, you know, they're still probably selling for quite a bit. I'm just banking them right now. But
well, those enchants, the jade spirit
takes 10 of them.
The dancing steel, all those in-game enchants, those are still kind of the best enchants you can get, and they cost 10 of those. Mm-hmm. So those are still very popular. You could either sell them or, you know, use them yourself, and they're definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. So, you know, that's just another way you can, you know, farm your crystals. And if you have an enchanter, so you're not paying, you can get yourself the good enchants with these without having to pay auction hall prices for them. And you can do it all, you know, self-reliantly if you want to, which is, you know, fantastic.
Do you want to
roll
this? Or do
all right. So anyway, if you want to roll an alt, Or if you're wondering why would I want to roll an alt? Well, right now, well, maybe it's, you know, you might be busy in Throne of Thunder, or you might not. Unfortunately, this year, it appears our summer lull has hit early, like a like full season early. Like it's the spring and summer lull. Anyway, so it's giving us, you know, it's giving us a lot more opportunity to roll alts. And, you know, one of the reasons you might want to do this is just try something new. You know, try a new spec, which is not necessarily an alt, but, you know, something I'm actually considering on my Shaman right now is I've been Resto Enhanced for years, you know, since release, basically. I had a brief stint of Elemental and Burning Crusade, but I haven't done it since then. So I'm actually considering trying Elemental, mainly because my alt Warlock, I love blowing stuff up with my Warlock, so I'd like to try that on my Shaman, is actually kind of where this is coming from. But try a new spec. But other than that, you know, if you roll an alt, you could try not only a new class, but a new role. So if your main focus is healing all the time, roll a DPS class. Roll a pure DPS class that doesn't even have healing as an option. And, just try it out and see, you know. You might find you like it, or if you're always DPSing, roll a healer, roll a healing class and try that out as an alt, and you might find you really enjoy it. Or try tanking, you might find you really enjoy that too. So, you know, alts give you a great opportunity to try this new stuff out. Especially if, you know, with summer coming up, if your lull hasn't hit in your guild yet, there's a good chance it might with a summer coming. So yeah, go out there and try that. You know, try a new class, a new spec, or a new role, and you know, don't necessarily use your main for it, but use an alt. That's a great opportunity, a great reason for rolling an alt. And you know, you might find you really enjoy playing Warlocks, and find out that they're really awesome, and you never knew before, because they are.
It actually makes you a lot more of a well-rounded player, because if you're just a healer and that's what you do is you heal, then you don't really have a full grasp of what tanking is right now. You know, even if you tanked in Wrath or in Kata, tanking's different now than it was before. Mm-hmm. DPSing is different now than it was before. There's a lot more in the raids now, maybe not in LFR so much, a little bit, but there's a lot of individual responsibility, and there's a a whole heck of a lot of, if you don't know, you know, even as a DPS, if you don't do the right thing, it's going to hurt the entire group. So, you know, it's good to get out there and expand your skill set and have, try something else out. Have some fun. Play a monk. Play a Mistweaver monk.
Right.
Because they're ridiculous.
But along the same lines of that is, you know, rather than try a new role, you could do the same role in a different class. Because, you know, especially while healing, I'm going to say healing right now, of course, because it's my main area of expertise, but every class heals differently and they've all got their own quirks. So if you heal mainly with a shaman, such as I do, because you're awesome, like I am, you could try healing on a monk or a priest or a paladin. And
I noticed you didn't say druid.
I know. I guess you could try healing on a druid, but I'm not going
Beru,
to.
Beru would recommend it.
Yes, she would. But anyway, that's, you know, in Cataclysm, I did that a lot. That was my, when I rolled an alt, it was all the healing classes. So I had them all. And the reason I didn't mention druid there is because I was terrible at the druid. The shaman, of course, my main, I was really good. The paladin, I was, you know, really good at that. Discipline on the priest, I really enjoyed that. I wouldn't say I was an expert, but I handled my own. I did pretty good. I even did holy, so my two specs on my priest were discipline and holy. And, you know, holy was different, of course, than discipline, and I did okay on that. And I don't know what it was about druid. I just couldn't get it. I don't know. I'm a terrible druid healer, and I will freely admit that. You know, so
go back and try it again. Since we're in this lull here,
yeah, I
know. Should go back and
I should. Well, he's level 86 right now. Like my priest and my paladin, I have leveled them both to 90. My paladin, I took in a few runs. I'm definitely not 460 yet. I think I might be about 450 item level. My disciplined priest, I basically hit level 90 and then started leveling my warlock up. So I haven't even touched it at level 90 other than to make sure his transmog set looked good.
Hey, well, I know a good way you can gear up.
Do you?
I think we may have covered that already.
Yeah, right? I think we did. All right, you want to take this next one, or do you want me to? I did write it.
Let's see. Well, no, it's if for some reason you want to just try out something completely different, you could try out a whole new faction. But it probably worked best if you're Alliance. Because if you're Horde, there's no reason to try another faction here.
Exactly.
I will, though. This is kind of funny. I am, right now, I am wearing an Alliance t-shirt.
What?
I was on my lunch break the other day walking through the mall, and there's a mall not too far from where I work, and I needed to go. I was going down there to do something else, and I walked by a store, and they had it was on clearance. It was just like one of the newer ones. I had the Horde one already, and it looks kind of like a painted version of the shield crest.
Right.
And I've got the Horde one already, and it's awesome. And I saw this one, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I picked it up, and it was like severely discounted. And I was like, well, I guess I could always use a scrub rag. I guess
I'll. I'll let it go just because it was on clearance and seriously discounted. I guess it's okay.
But I'm wearing it right now. I may have to put a picture up or something because people aren't going to believe it.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, if that's another thing you can do with alts is try the other faction. Like, of course, we're joking around when we say, you know, only do this if you're Alliance, because you should really try Horde, because it's the best. Well, maybe we're joking. I'm not sure yet. But even if you're Horde, maybe try the Alliance a little bit. The story is completely different from what I've been told on the Alliance side, because I've never personally done it. But it's something you can try. You know, try it, see how, try out all the quests on the Alliance side, and, or on the Horde side, vice versa. And, you know, you might find you really enjoy the story and you want to switch to Horde. Because it's,
that's right.
It's the best faction.
I'll tell you what, though, man, because I have played Alliance up several times. Stormwind sucks until you can fly. It just sucks, man. There's no way around it. There's, like, the one little flight point service is, like, way, way, way over there. And then for some reason, you're like, oh, I need to take... Oh, I just hit, whatever, 68. I'm going to go to Northrend. Man, you got to, like... 20-minute hike down to the docks, and you got to figure out which dock has the boat, because evidently they take boats. They don't have zeppelins, so you got to take a boat over to Northrend. It's like, then you're running around trying to find out which boat it is, and asking the guards, and they're just looking at you like you're an idiot. That's the whole thing, man. But once you can fly, it's a lot better. But
yeah, so, I don't know. Well, it's a lot of levels to suffer through.
It is, just to play Alliance.
Yep. So, do you have any more to add to that, or should we get onto these comments? It's not a very full show today, but we're just kind of getting into the swing of things.
No, I think, you know, when we mentioned the alt talk, you know, there's a pretty warm reception to it, so this mm-hmm. is kind of a fun topic.
Yeah, all right.
I tend to embrace the alts, so.
Well, yeah, I've got 490s right now, and on my druid is sitting at 86, so. But I think it took me well into, you know, we were in Dragon Soul before I started even working on my second alt, I think, in Cataclysm. Yeah. So I'm way ahead of the game on this one, you know, being alt-friendly or not. I'm well ahead of the game compared to what I was in Cataclysm.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's not hard to get a tune leveled up, but it's what you do after that.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we got an email response here. We asked today quickly what your favorite part of playing an alt was. And we got an email. It says, hi, I saw your tweet asking about alts. Since I'm a fairly unrepentant altaholic, I'll bite. My favorite part of playing alts is getting to know the ways a class and or spec works. It feels a bit like putting a puzzle together. Getting that aha, so that's how this works moment when in a new role is awesome. At least in my book. A second favorite part of playing alts is going back to questing areas or dungeons I enjoyed a ton the first time I went through them. I've dragged almost every alt to quest in Fellwood once they were of level. It was one of my favorite zones before Kata and still is after the revamp. I've gotten everything minus Paladin and Monk to 85 or beyond. 7 level 90s and counting. The Monk is still in progress. The Paladin just makes me want to log off and do something else. Sarah, game on. I totally agree with that. Putting a puzzle together. Like, I really felt that when I was leveling my Warlock, when you know, I figured out Havoc. Because when you first look at Havoc, it's this spell that will duplicate your Chaos Bolt or three other spells, damage spells, on a second target. And when I first read that, I'm like, okay, whatever, whatever. But, you know, once you really start to think about it and what that means, and then how you can effectively use that in battle to really increase your damage... And then, you know, you start thinking, well, okay, what macros can I use for this? And it was awesome when I felt like, oh my god, I can use this macro. Actually, it was my wife who suggested putting focus into a Havoc macro so that when you click Havoc on a target, it also sets that target as your Havoc or as your focus at the same time so that you can see what you have Havoc on. It was like, wow, that's amazing. And it was awesome. You know, I totally get what she's saying here. You know, totally figuring out how to really play a new class. It is actually a lot of fun.
It is fun. I've been sitting at 10 for quite a while. I've actually made the choice to, like, just not worry about some of my other ones. I still got my mage and rogue to do, but I've kind of just been like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, especially now since in 5.3 they're gonna be nerfing the XP requirement to get from 86 to 90. So I'll probably pick up the other ones then. But yeah, it's been great, man. It just, like we were saying earlier, it just makes you more well-rounded. You get it. You know, you can go in and you can it may make you more critical too, because you can look at somebody and go, man, this guy's terrible. What's he doing? You know, he should be doing this, this, and this. But, you know, that's kind of a perspective thing. If you go and do it with a good attitude and just try and, you know, especially healing in LFR or tanking in LFR, man, that's brutal. And the Throne of Thunder stuff right now is so unforgiving and people are so harsh. But, you know, if you kind of know what's going on, you can contribute a lot more and help out. So. Mm-hmm. We also had a lot of Twitter responses. So here, Jagger Tab says leveling professions is one of his favorite reasons, so he doesn't have to pay the auction house prices for stuff that he needs.
Kim Scally, who you'll hear coming up soon, says the best thing about alts is changing it up and hopping on different tunes. I get bored playing the same character all the time.
Reichsbrenner says, definitely professions for self-reliance, but smacking things in the face with a giant sword instead of frostbolts is fun.
Lazarus says, it's nice to shed the responsibilities of your main and just mess around.
Yes, it is. That's one of my favorite things.
Definitely.
I mess around on my main, though, too, anyways. So. Our good buddy Alamari says, it's good to try something different. Breathe some fresh life into the game, and it gives you a chance to try a new role, like tanking or healing. And his wife, via him, told us, for variation, better insight into the game, how different classes work, and it's good for raid leading and general knowledge.
Broom Fondle says, professions. I have all professions maxed in my tunes, so I can minimize auction hall spending. That and trying something different.
Are we seeing a theme here?
Yes, we are.
The lovely Absana says, learning different spells and skills. Always amazed at how each class is really cool in its own ways. Well, thank you so much for responding there on quick notice. I know we kind of just threw that out at the last minute.
Yeah, and well, even going back to what Elamari's wife said, playing an alt that's a different role than what you normally play can help you understand how they work together, you know, when you go back to your normal raids. If you go tanking on an alt for a while, you'll see how that relates to yourself when you're healing and the healers that are healing you as a tank. And, you know, it could make you a better healer when you go back to that normal role in your raids, you know, or same with DPS, et cetera, you know. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, I think she's got the, you know, one of the biggest things there if you're a raider is try the other roles so that you know what everyone in your raid is dealing with, you know.
Well, you kind of learn, like, learning the fights is one thing, too, you know, because you know when certain things are going to happen, but you kind of understand the symmetry and just the way everything fits together, and you know, like, okay, this is what's happening here, and this is why it's happening, and this is why I really need to dispel this, and this is why, you know, this tank's going to take a lot of damage here, and, you know, and you know that the tank can't do anything about it, that he can't mitigate this, or he can't do that, so you really have got to be there on top of it, or you know, there's all kinds of, just, like those puzzle pieces we were talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, enough of us. I think it's time for a little bit of crowd control. Episode 6.
Hi guys, welcome back to Crowd Control. We've had a couple of weeks off, but I am back and I'm answering your questions this week, as well as some interesting details that have been added to 5.3. So stick around and I hope you enjoy. So everyone's back. Hend is back from his holidays, and I am back with a microphone that isn't blown up. So there have been a load of updates on the PTR since we last talked about it, 5.3. But recently there's been two really interesting ones. The first one is PvP power ratio. There's been a change to the conversion ratio. In order to obtain 1%, you now need to get 400 points, and that's up from 265. So it's almost double what you needed before. I think it's an interesting change. I can see why. I mean, it's going to present a better balance between PvP players and PvE players. The other one is the amount of PvP power and resilience on gems has been reduced by 50%. Yeah, I can see why there's a balance, a kind of idea behind that too. And we've actually got a question about that. It's from Jetrix the Dune on Twitter, and he says, I don't understand. Resilience is 65% base, but we're getting more power on gear items. Why drop the amount you get by gemming? I think the reason behind this is to keep the balance. Like I say, PvE players only have a base resilience. Now, this is assuming that they're not regemming their gear every time they want to do PvP. And PvP players still have the advantage of PvP power because they're stacking it, and it's more difficult to get the amount that you require to just, you know, make those big hits. Because there's less of it around. There's less from your points to get your percentage, and there's less from the gems. Which is fair, because like I say, the PvE players don't have that. They have base resilience, and that's it. They don't have gear. Now, this is assuming that that is the way they're going to play. It might not be the case. There might be people that will use PvE gear and gem it for PvP. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. Alright, so the next tweet I have is from Romy Jordan, and he says, I'm happy about the Hunter stable change, I'm annoyed at the Ring of Peace change, and I'm saddened at the loss of Tri-Spec. Yes, I absolutely agree, the loss of Tri-Spec is quite sad. It really appealed to me. It appealed to the lazy side of me. Because I don't do as much PvE, it's just kind of more casually, and I do it dailies and LFR and stuff like that. I don't really need it, but if I was raiding, for example, if I was a kind of mainly focused PvE player and I wanted to do PvP, it would really appeal to me because it would be basically a PvP spec. You could have that as your PvP spec and not have to switch it out each time you want to do it. For example, my priest has a shadow spec and a dis spec, both of which I play in PvE and PvP, but I have to switch out a few spells every now and again. And it's more of a pain than anything else. I have to carry around tomes and stuff like that. I'm lazy. You know, what can I say? So at the weekend, we managed to finally get Rob to come do some battlegrounds with us. And we took along another guildie too. And whilst we were in the battleground, he asked me quite an interesting question. He said, what's the best way to prepare for BGs in Arena? Like, with the death rate being so high, with food buffs and flasks and things like that, do you bother with them? And personally, I do. And I know not everyone does it, but yes, I do. It's mainly because I have them there in my bag, though. It's a habit that I've built up from raiding, actually. So, I mean, there's no harm in it. Usually what happens is when I get into a battleground, I'll throw down a feast when everyone's waiting, you know, to start, and getting their soul stones and their mage tables and their soul wells and all that good stuff. I'll throw down a feast and everyone can have a munch. It's kind of, you don't need to make feasts. I mean, feasts, yeah, if you've not got the mats, just make your food buff for one. You don't need to go crazy farming up the mats for feasts, you know, you don't need to share. You want to just take, especially if you're not doing it as a guild and things like that, don't waste your time making feasts. Just make your food buff for yourself. And you just get that extra boost when you're out the traps, when you're going for the, you know, the initial zerg. As for Arena, it's a non-issue. You can't use food buffs or flasks or potions or anything like that in Arena. It's a pain, but yeah, it makes it fair. So if we get back to 5.3, there's been a lot of argument back and forth about whether it's fair to let people play PvP and PvE gear. My own personal view on this is pretty simple. PvP and PvE are very different playstyles. I mean, if you think back to the first time you ever did PvP, and you probably spent a lot of time working on your spec and your abilities, and it took a while for you to build up the knowledge and the reflexes. So someone stepping into PvP for the first time in PvE gear, you know, they're always going to be at a disadvantage because they're going to be PvE focused players. Again, this is assuming that people don't get the PvE gear and gem it and enchant it for PvP. This is going on what should be done, I guess. In all honesty, the only real way to find out how much different it would be is to grab two toons on the PTR and, you know, gear one for PvP, do the full enchants and gems and stuff like that, and do the same for a PvE turn, and take them into a battleground, and just, you know, play it and see how it is. You'll probably find that it's quite balanced. I don't imagine that they would put it in if it wasn't. I'm sure that they've spent a long, long time trying to figure it out. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. That's it for this week. As always, I'd love to hear from you guys, so get on thetrainingdummies.com and check out the contact page, and you'll find all my details there, as well as details about my blog and Twitter. So thanks so much for listening, and I hope you guys have an epic week.
Okay, not recording in 3 weeks, I've realized I've really missed two things. Number one, hearing Kim. And number two is the macro of the week intro.
Did it put that on your phone and just listen to it?
I should. I definitely should. All right. Macro of the week this week is another Warlock one, because that's kind of what I play when I log in now all the time.
You're cheating on him.
I know, and I feel guilty about it. I do. Anyway, this one can be easily modified for any class that has a big DPS style cooldown. What I use this one for is my Dark Soul Instability, which is my big 2-minute cooldown. That gives me 30% crit buff. So I try and use it every 2 minutes, and or as near to 2 minutes as I can once I have 4 burning embers. But during a boss fight, you can use a potion one time, not counting pre-potting. But that's another story. So what I thought I would like to do is when I use that potion, like for instance, Potion of the Jade Serpent, which I believe is 4,000 intellect for 20 seconds. I'd like to use that at the same time as I use my Dark Soul. But I can't macro it together because I want to use it at a specific time. I don't necessarily want to use it on the first time I hit the Dark Soul. You know, maybe I want to use it on the third one. Or for instance, on Horridon in Throat of Thunder, I'd want to wait until he has 4 stacks of cracked shell so that I can get my 1.4 million crit chaos bolts. So what I have done is put a shift modifier on my Dark Soul. So if I hold down shift and hit the button for my Dark Soul ability, it's going to pop the potion first and then cast my Dark Soul. But if I don't hold down shift, it's just going to cast Dark Soul. So this gives me a lot of control in determining when I want to use a potion, my one potion per battle, along with my Dark Soul, without having to put my potions on a separate button. I can just keep it on, you know, just keep my Dark Soul on one button, and then I still have that option of using it exactly when I want to and have that control. All right, so I will post that one, hopefully soon, because I still think I'm like 3 shows behind. Were you gonna comment?
No, I.
Oh, okay.
I know you and I were doing our kind of leveling our warlocks around the same time, and I kind of got mine a little bit of gear at 90 and left him to go do something else that distracted me. But all this warlock talk makes me wanna. Crit the heck, man. I know. What, you broke a million on Horde.
I got 1.4. I did a 1.3 and a 1.4.
Yeah. And I'm a shaman, I know, on Hordon. I think I hit like 834,000. Mm-hmm. I didn't break a million, so.
Yep. I know, it's awesome.
It's so cool. Yep. Love it, man.
All right. Let's start winding this show down here.
A hand love It's funky cause he's Canadian. Well, hello.
All right. As always, I need to send some hen love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies on the Deathwing server. Love you guys. And, yeah, always send you guys hen love as you deserve it. You guys keep me playing. As well, I want to send some hen love to Root and Freckleface from the Hearthcast podcast. And, you know, especially Root, because I had an epiphany this week. Root has been scarce lately in Warcraft due to, I believe he was traveling for a while and, his computer is no longer able to adequately run Warcraft. So he's actually
got his new one.
I know he's got his new one now. So we were missing Root for a while there. Like I hadn't seen him online for probably 3 or 4 weeks. So I think maybe that's why I started to play my own Warlock, because I missed Root's Warlock so much.
There you go. Yep. You didn't race change to a goblin though.
No. I went orc. Still green.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, yes, definitely, hen love to Hearthcast and, Freckleface and Root.
Man, I got probably more than I can list. So and this is always my problem too on Twitter. Like, I hate like giving out props specifically because I feel like I'm going to leave people out because there's so many rad people. But all of our friends and followers and family and everybody over on Twitter and Facebook, and especially who was it, Vero from the Out of Mana podcast. She's been she's drug us through some runs lately and healed us so we could go in there and derp some DPS out, and that's been super cool. To the Shadow Priest, Aqua Goober, I think that's your name, who's one of the stupidest buttholes I've ever run into in game. Man, you take the cake. Man, this guy was like a raging idiot, and it was so bad it was awesome. Like, he was, man, it was great. I never see anybody yell at it, like, had the entire raid just disgusted with him. So you gotta get some sort of props for that.
Nice.
All right. That's it for me.
Okay, we also have this week some 5 stars. We've got two of them. No. So the first one here, I don't know if it's cheating or not, but it's from Jaxley, who I happen to know you may have heard on the podcast some point today. She's on the Deathwing server, but she says, lots of awesome, good job, guys. Anyway, thanks a lot. It's still awesome that you took the time to go rate us on iTunes.
There is one actually called Loved Episode 39 from Ranimal. One of my top 5 WoW podcasts. Great info and tips for any class or playstyle. I would also like to say, ha! You said no one would give you a 5-star rating for Episode 39.
We did say you that. That's funny.
Proven us wrong. So I guess that all... I guess we need to lower the bar.
And, we'll say no one's going to give us a 5-star for episode 41.
That's right. No one ever.
Nobody. Nope. Not going to happen.
Nope. Not at all.
All right. Well, much as it's awesome to get those two 5-star reviews, what's even more awesome is when someone says it's a voicemail, which is basically a 5-star review. So I'm going to play this one.
Hey, Daryl and Rob, it's Elamari. I just want to say that I've really enjoyed the recent string of guest hosts you guys have had on. I really enjoyed the episode discussing World of Logs. This is me encouraging you both to never stop making a great show and keep those macros coming. Cheers, guys.
Thank you very much, awesome, sir. Man. That was awesome. What's Seriously. Even more awesome is your accent.
I know, man. I'm jealous.
We're like so hung up on accents. It's funny.
I am, dude. I love it.
I know. It's awesome.
I'm just a dude that grew up in California, and I don't have, I guess, like, I get the the old school, like 1980s, like rad and like all that stuff, but that's not an accent.
Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Elamari. That's awesome to hear stuff like that. That
even the bros, yeah.
Yeah, really makes us feel good about what we're doing, and definitely wants us, makes us want to continue doing it.
You know, there's one thing, because I know you're going to close it out here. There's one thing, man. So I was talking earlier that I was doing the legendary quest line. Yes. I finally got all my treasures and all the trillion bars and all that. So I go in, I started the solo scenario with Rathian. Excuse me. I am stuck on that, man. And I am shaking my fist at Blizzard officially right now. The final stage of this quest is to destroy the Shaw Amalgamation. And I don't think... Hint probably never heard me swear that much in a long time, man. This quest is ridiculous, and I hate it, and I just thought that you all should know that. That's all.
All right.
I guess, I'm mad, dude.
I know, I could tell. Okay, that does it for episode 41 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetradingdummies.com. We post our macros of the week there eventually, as well as any other macros we discuss during the show. While you're there, please leave comments on the episodes or the macros, or send us a voicemail, like Elamari did, using the fancy widget on the right-hand side of the page. We try to be social media butterflies, so like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies, or you can follow the show on Twitter at trainingdummies, Rob at Rob Copeland, and myself, Hend, at Hend_Horderlies. And as always, we love to get emails, so send those in to thetrainingdummies.com.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!